Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster. That's a quarterly that's put out by the people at Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida. The topic this quarter is Christ in the Old Testament. And to speak on it, we read the words of Charles Simeon, who lived from 1759 to 1836. Charles Simeon was an Anglican minister who had lasting influence on English evangelical thought. Born in Reading, Berkshire, England, UK. He quotes from Isaiah 61, 1 to 3 in his article called Christ, the Anointed Preacher. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Important as these words evidently are, on account of the blessed truths contained in them, they come recommended to us with double force from their having been made the subject of our Lord's first discourse after his entrance on his prophetic office. The interpretation of them, which he has suggested, leaves us no doubt respecting the propriety of applying them to him, Luke 4:17 to 22. While therefore we begin at this scripture and preach unto you Jesus, we may truly say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. May the rehearsal of it excite amongst us not merely a transient admiration, but a deep and permanent desire to enjoy the blessings revealed in it. The prophet, speaking of the Messiah, declares, number one, his call to his office. Our Lord was consecrated to his prophetic office by a visible unction of the Holy Spirit. As the priests and kings were separated to their respective offices by pouring oil upon their heads, so on some occasions were the prophets also. Our Lord, who in all his offices infinitely excelled all that had gone before him, was consecrated by an unction of which the anointing oil was but a type and shadow. The Spirit of the Lord God was poured out upon him at the time of his baptism, and the descent of the Spirit in a visible shape, like a dove upon him, marked him as divinely commissioned to execute the work and office of the Messiah. Indeed, he was called Messiah and Christ from that very circumstance of his being anointed with the oil of gladness above all that ever had partaken of that heavenly gift. By that unction, too, he was qualified for the discharge of the office committed to him. Though as God, our Savior was incapable of improvement, yet as man, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and needed to be offered with those gifts and graces that were proper for the discharge of his mediatorial office. Accordingly, we read that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, as to other prophets, but in all his fullness, and that it rested on him as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11. Thus he was both called and qualified at the same time. For though he was destined for his work from eternity and prepared for it from his first conception in the virgin's womb, yet were not his qualifications completed until the great seal of heaven was affixed to his commission, and he was openly consecrated to the service of God. The prophet proceeds to open at large, number two, the commission given him. The terms in which his commission are expressed have a special reference to the Jubilees that were proclaimed every 50th year. He was sent first to proclaim salvation to all who needed it. At the time of Jubilee, all who had by any means been reduced to sell their estates and to surrender up themselves and families as slaves to their creditors were liberated from their bondage and restored to the full possession of their inheritance the very instant the trumpet sounded. The gospel is that trumpet, and it proclaims liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Our Lord's office was to sound this trumpet, to announce these glad tidings, to declare that this acceptable year had arrived and that the day had come wherein God would take vengeance on all their enemies and oppressors. These are glad tidings indeed to those who are sensible of their bondage to sin and Satan, and who know that they have sold the inheritance of heaven for the pleasures of sin. But to those who are unconscious of their guilt and misery, the sound of the trumpet seems an empty noise, or rather an insult implying a state of degradation, which they do not feel and will not acknowledge. Hence our Lord's commission, though extending to all, was more particularly to the meek, for it is to them only who are humbled under their wretched condition for the proclaiming of a that the proclaiming of a free salvation contains any welcome news. And secondly, to impart salvation to all who desired it. To the brokenhearted and the mourners in Zion, he came to appoint and to give the blessings they desired. He was expected as the consolation of Israel, and in that character, he particularly appeared. Were any bowed down with a spirit of heaviness and mourning in dust and ashes, he came to bind up their broken hearts and to exhilarate their souls that they might be comforted and become as persons anointed with oil and arrayed in gayest apparel for some great festivity. We may conceive the feelings of a man who in one instant has been restored from the lowest degree of servitude and want to affluence and honor. But we must experience the blessedness of salvation before we can form any adequate idea of the joy and gladness that Christ infuses into the contrite and believing soul. Thus far, our Lord himself applied the passage. But the prophet adds, number three, the ends for which he executes this commission, the purposes. Our Lord, in every part of his work, connected two great ends. Number one, the benefit of man. Though once we were planted a noble vine, we are become the degenerate plants of a strange vine. And instead of producing good fruit, we bring forth nothing but grapes of Sodom and clusters of Gomorrah. But Christ desires to rectify our fallen nature and to make us trees of righteousness, that instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, so that we may be as trees planted and watered by the hand of God. This was the end of his mission, purpose of it, and it is invariably the effect of his ministration. Let us only view the converts on the day of Pentecost, and in them we shall behold a just specimen of the effects produced by the preached gospel. And to whomsoever the word of Christ comes with power, the same blessings are given. They are transplanted from the wilderness into the garden of the Lord, and they have their fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And second, the glory of God. Two great ends. One, the benefit of man. Second, the glory of God. This could not be but the great purpose that Jesus ever had in view. He would have sinned if there had been any consideration in his mind superior or even comparable to this, and how well was his commission calculated to promote it. View him as undertaking our cause and coming from heaven to redeem us. Can we fail of admiring the love and condescension of that God who sent him? Hear the tidings he proclaims, a full, a free, an everlasting salvation to perishing sinners. Are we not filled with wonder at such stupendous mercy? See the myriads whose broken hearts he has healed. See them rejoicing on earth or shouting their hallelujahs in heaven. Are we not ready to clap our hands for joy and to break forth into acclamations and hosannas? There is not any part of Christ's work, whether as performed by him or enjoyed by us, but what calls upon us to glorify God with our whole hearts. And to all eternity will the praises of God resound from myriads of the redeemed, who with united voices will exclaim, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." Well, this subject may be improved. Number one, for conviction. All profess to hope for salvation through Christ, even though they be insensible of their lost and helpless state. But if it be to the meek, the mourners, and the brokenhearted that Christ came, what can they have to do with him whose hearts are whole and who are unhumbled before him? They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Nor did he come to call the righteous, those who fancy themselves righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let none then expect to take part in his salvation unless they feel their need of it and consent to receive it as his free, unmerited gift. And this subject may be improved for consolation. They who are sensible that they have sold heaven and their own souls for a thing of naught are ready to say, "Can such a lawful captive ever be delivered?" We answer, "You may instantly cast off your bonds and assert your liberty if you will but accept the proclaimed mercy. Only believe in Christ, and the forfeited inheritance of heaven shall be yours. You have nothing to pay for your deliverance but to receive it freely. You have nothing to fear from your enemies, for the day of God's vengeance is come, and he will bruise all your enemies under your feet. Let but these tidings sink into your hearts, and God will glorify himself in your eternal happiness." That's from Charles Simeon. Charles Simeon, from his Horae Homiletice Isaiah. And that evidently is Latin. It's volume 8, in case you want to go check that one out. It's in the public domain. Next time it'll be James Durham. We're bringing to voices of the past that need to be in our present, just like those songs that we love to sing, that we've sung for hundreds of years. They're still good, aren't they? Well, these are still some very good preachers and preachings. I want to bring them to you day after day. Thank you, God, for the Free Grace broadcaster. And if you want to have this free periodical sent to you every 3 months, just send an email to chapel@mountzion.org. Well, thank you for listening. Please look around my site. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, Bible studies on a number of subjects, a blog, and a store where you can purchase one of my 60-plus books. If you desire more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel known as Pasturelands, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details of our street ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, our new virtual church on Sunday mornings, a couple of in-person churches in the Chicago area where we could meet up if you're local. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. You're listening to this on April the 6th, 2022. And Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.